Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode number six of the Short Corner podcast, where today we're going to be reviewing the 2-0 Milan win away at Hellas Verona. Very important win. I think it's maybe quite an underrated win because they're a difficult side, especially to play away, sitting in the top half of the table, almost like the best of the rest behind the likes of Milan, Atalanta, Lazio, those sort of teams. And yeah, it's a nice win, 2-0, goals from Krunic and Dalot, two unlikely scorers. But here with me, it's not going to be Joe and Rid today because they've got uni commitments, but I am joined by Naeem and Samir, if you guys would like to say hello.
Ciao, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
So yeah, just us three today, but we are joined by a very special guest, a Milan fan who's not far from me in Leicestershire. It's Max Vigor. Hi, Max. Are you right? Like to say hello?
Hello, boys. How are we doing?
So yeah, very happy to have Max on. Nice to have a guest celebrate a win with us. Feels like since the podcast started, we've had a bit of inconsistent form. But yeah, Max, just questions that we like to ask our guests when they first come on. How did you begin to start supporting Milan? What's your Milan story? And then who are your favourite three Milan players of all time?
So I grew up in Luxembourg to English parents. But none of my family ever watched football. And even to this day, they would only ever watch the World Cup if England were playing. So growing up in that environment, I didn't really have a family team to start supporting. So I turned to Milan because, I mean, they were really good on FIFA 11. But also the fact that David Beckham, who was sort of one of my idols as a child because of watching the England games with my family, he went there quite famously, and that was, I think, one of his big moves outside of England, and it was very talked about. And also Milan was actually founded by English expatriates as a cricket club, which I could sort of associate myself with, so I thought that was quite a cool backstory to sort of start supporting Milan.
Yeah, that's really cool. I can kind of relate to that. It's Herbert Kilpin from Nottinghamshire, literally about probably about 45 minutes away from me, probably even less for you. But yeah, that's a really cool way to get started. And yeah, who are your favourite three Milan players? You mentioned Beckham. Who are the other two, if he is one?
Yeah, I think Beckham is definitely up there for me. Not so much because of just his playing style, but just because of that superstar quality. And then, I mean, the obvious one is Kaká. But I never really saw either of them play that much because I never really knew how to stream up until the age of about 14, 15. So I'd say over the more recent years, I did enjoy Suso when he was playing well, but I think Donnarumma might be one of my favourite players.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm kind of the same. I've in like the first podcast I spoke about how my story with Donnarumma and how he was the first player I ever thought like associated with Milan because of like I was a goalkeeper and how young I was when I first started supporting, and I could relate to that. But yeah, talking Donnarumma, clean sheet today. What were your original thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I was extremely impressed with Donnarumma particularly. But I mean, defensively, we've definitely had better showings before. I mean, especially towards the end of the game, Donnarumma was really shouting at the defence, trying to tell them to get organised. And I think that might be one of Romagnoli's shortcomings, is just because he kind of is used to having a more experienced defender next to him. It was Bonucci before for one season, which I think really pushed him forward in a lot of aspects of his game. And now Kaya has come in a lot more of an experienced head. So I think, although Donnarumma saved us again, well, not necessarily because I don't think they had a shot on target, alas. But he's such a commanding figure, and he really demands a lot from the defenders.
Yeah, Naeem and Samir, if you want to chip in with what you thought, especially considering how it looked at the start of the game. You've seen the likes of Krunic and Castillejo instead of Hakan and Dalot instead of Teo. But yeah, they proved us wrong. What did you lot think of the game overall?
Hey, I woke up and I thought, hey, Pioli, if he's not starting Hauge, I'm going to lose it. So I saw that lineup. I saw Mete, no Tonali. We saw Castillejo, Krunic, and Liao. I thought, okay, wow, this is a really bad lineup recently. But then, you know, when play first started, we looked a bit shaky, but we started attacking a bit more. And then, hey, Krunic got that free kick edge of the box. You would have thought he would have lasered that top right. So maybe we do have a better free kick taker in Krunic than Hakan, you know, just skying it to the stand or whatever he's doing these days. But that was a fantastic, fantastic free kick from Krunic. And, you know, we really did sell into the game defensively, you know, solid. Tomori, once again, a proper showing from him. Other than that, a little back pass to Donnarumma, which AR13 cleared. But other than that, you know, very solid game from the whole team. Never would have thought Dalot to do what he did. He did the Ronaldo chop and then lasers it top left. You know, whatever Theo can do, I can do better. But, you know, very good game from the boys today.
Yeah, it was. I didn't expect us to win, not by like 2-0 with a clean sheet. I thought, you know, we're going to flummel it, maybe draw 2-2 or lose it. Big showing from Krunic, like Naeem said, he was really good. He might be a better free kick taker than Hakan. Honestly, anyone can be at this point. Guys, remember last year or like 2 years back, Biglia was playing and Hakan was out. Biglia took a free kick and he scored like from like 30 meters out or something. So every time someone gets a chance, they score. So I think we have a better free kick taker than Hakan right now. And everyone did play good. Castillejo, you know, same old, did nothing, but then was not so bad. Liao had a slow start to the match, but then slowly, he did play better. My man of the match has to be Cassie. He was like really good the entire match. Like, he was helping everyone and like getting the ball, passing the ball, distribution. He was very like, he did the basic things very nicely. I think this is one of Miri's better game. He did a few mistakes, but then better than like last two games. Kept everything, you know, simple. Got the ball, passed it. Nothing crazy. And Salamaker, you know, doing bad what he does. Like doing the best what he can, you know, like passing the ball. Everything simple, you know. To this match was very simple. And for Dalot, he finally showed up. He was missing for the last few games, right? Finally did something and the goal was very nice. So really happy. Very surprised. And also for our defense, I think I like this one. Romain Grosjean with Tomori might see it for the future, you know, if Kahir keeps on getting injured. Overall, the match was pretty good. Surprising, but good.
You know, Salonakis has 2 assists in his last 2 games, I believe. So a little good run of form for him there. So I think maybe they're reading the Milan Twitter tweets of saying, hey, we need a right winger. And Salamakers said, hey, we got a right winger right here in me.
Yeah, I feel like Salamakers, he's, you can tell that he's young and he's sort of quite inexperienced, because I made a note in the game that he blows really hot and cold. So when he's hot, he's amazing. You know, some of the passes that he can play, I'm thinking back to the last assist, like you said, Naeem, when he did that sort of diagonal ball up to the center, that was an amazing pass. And you know, he had some really, really good moments in the game today. But there he's just too inconsistent for me with the how frequently he creates those sorts of opportunities. Quite often he, you know, he gets caught in the press, you know, he gets too easily dribbled past, or he loses the ball quite easily. So he just needs to sort of work on that consistency for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, because you look at someone like Donnarumma or Mbappe or Haaland, and you see that when they were young, they were like freaks of nature, being able to deal with the pressure and being able to perform week in, week out. But not everyone is that generational world-class talent at such a young age. So I think with Salamakers, especially when Castillejo doesn't really offer a great deal to the team, I think getting someone like Tovan in, or Boga, or someone like that, someone more experienced and someone who's, yeah, like you say, more consistent, that would help him, because it could take the pressure off him, because at the moment he's our best right winger, and to ask him to perform like for 50 games a season, 90 minutes, and be absolutely amazing every second for someone of his young age, it's not going to work. Talking about experience and consistency, we were just before we started recording, we're talking about Kessier and his out every single week. He's just 7.5 minimum out of 10. And Sammy has given him his man of the match. And he just, like, yeah, he's just incredible every single week. He never really puts a foot wrong. He's never making any glaring errors. And I think it's testament to what can happen if you give a player time and given and are patient with him and given time to grow into his role. Because if you remember when he first joined in 2017 and like he wasn't world class from minute one, people were like calling for his head. And I remember Wolves were interested in him and people were like, yeah, maybe we should offload him, get the money now. But yeah, Max, what are your thoughts on him and his consistency and how dependable he is?
Kessié has just been unbelievable this season. I think he's easily been the best outfield player we've had this season, you know, and it's not only his leadership and his energy that he brings to the team, it's the fact that he hasn't been injured really this season at all, you know, and being able to cope with the pressure of being the guy in the midfield when everyone around you is falling by the wayside, you know, Benacer getting injured and Tonali missing quite a few games and being out of form towards the beginning of the season, and now having to partner Mate, who by no means is a bad player, but he's not really sort of up to Milan's aspirational level. But the fact that he covers so well, he's such an intelligent player as well. You can really see it when we have Teo and Calabria on at fullback. One of them pushes up and Kessié instantly drops back into that fullback role to cover for them. He's just such an intelligent player. And he's extremely press resistant as well. That's what I'm quite surprised by. I feel like he's become a lot more mobile, a lot more confident on the ball recently. And that's really been able to give us a sort of drive up the midfield.
So Kessié had a quote this week earlier. He said, the reporter asked him, why you run so much? Don't you get tired? And he says, I'm not afraid of running. Sometimes my teammates ask me, how are you? And he says, I answer that for me, it's natural. I win too much not to sweat on the field. And then he proceeded to say, in Africa, there are people who will walk 30 kilometers every morning for a piece of bread. So he does say that does come naturally to him. That's a fantastic piece of a quote from Kessié on that. So he does run quite a bit. I think he might have the most distance covered for any Milan player this season, if I'm not mistaken. And it really does show he's one of the best box-to-box midfielders in Europe, if not Serie A. And, you know, proper signing, he's grown into his role in that double pivot for Stefano Pioli. And just been a constant, whether it's beside Benacer, whether it's beside Tonali, he's just been a staple in our team.
Yeah, he's been incredibly consistent. And just moving on a bit, one of his partners in the midfield today may be playing a bit further forward, not in that pivot, but it was Rade Krunic. And it's funny today because the two goal scorers are Krunic and Dalo, who are two people who we've not slated Kalinic style, for example, but we've sort of doubted them and said, are they Milan standard? We're talking about Krunic and the game against Celtic. It's like when someone like Kessié, who is so dependable, when someone like Benacer, who is so consistent, are out, when those two are out, can we depend on Krunic? And same with Dalo, Teo. So he's probably, maybe with Donnarumma, he's like one of our only truly, I believe, world-class players. So we maybe saw Dalo as a drop-down in quality at left-back. So Samir, do you have any thoughts on, have you changed your mind on any of your thoughts about Krunic or Dalo or regarding the loan extensions? And because we were talking about Tonali and Tomori as definites, we should definitely sign them. Is the performance today from Dalo helping change your mind maybe?
To start with, for Krunic, I think give him more time. If he's performing, keep on playing him until, you know, Hakan comes back to his form, whatever that is. Like, he's been out of form since like last few months, honestly. And for Dalot, he has to perform. This is the first time he showed up like since the last three matches. Like last three, he was really bad. And today he performed good. But yeah, I need more from Dalot. And the money United wants is not worth, honestly. Like 25, 30, we're not going to pay that. I think even if we had money, we wouldn't pay that because that's way too much for him. If he keeps on performing, like he did it today, yeah, maybe, but then still, the money is way too much. And as for Krunic, like I said, keep on playing him until Hakan's come out of form Kunus has been playing really good since Pioli moved him, as a cam. So, let him shine. And as for Tonali, we're pretty sure that we're signing him, obviously. And Tomori also, we should sign him, definitely. Like, he has been really good since he, signed for us. I don't think he has a single bad match so far, so definitely we should keep him. Yeah.
I think that agents can lower down the fees if the player really wants it. So maybe today was the game for Dalot to show us, the fans, that, hey, I really want to fight for a place in this team. I want to be here for Champions League next season. So maybe just making a statement that, redeem me, because Luke Shaw is playing out of his mind at United right now. So maybe Dalot wants to stay here at Milan to fight for his spot. And on Krunic, I did say that I called for his head in episode one. I wanted him sold, off the bat. But Pioli's playing him as a mezzala, similar to what Jack Bonaventura was playing for us at Milan. It's very similar roles. So very, very good performance from Krunic today. So I'm happy to have been proven wrong by Krunic there. Good performance. He's in better form than Hakan right now. So just to go off what Samir said, keep playing Krunic in that position until Hakan, sorts his shit together, because he's focused on that contract, right? That's on his mind. So, that Krunic can take his spot and, keep playing him there.
Also, I would love to say, what the hell is wrong with Dalot's celebration? Why is he shooting himself in the head? Bro, what? Every time he scores, I'm like, oh no, he's gonna do it. And he does. He shoots himself in the head. Yeah. Sorry, Max, as you were saying.
Oh yeah, just to expand on Dalot a little bit. I think if we can get him for the absolute maximum I paid for him would be sort of 20 million. But if we could get him for sort of around 15 million, that would be so ideal, because it's quite rare that you find a player who can cover both fullback positions. I mean, I have my doubts about him because I think he's not the fastest, his passing isn't the best, and his one-on-one defending isn't amazing either. But he does pop up with some important moments, it seems. Whenever he plays, he'll make that important clearance, or today, he scored that fantastic goal. And I felt today that the nets in the Hellas Stadium were really sort of satisfying. When the ball hit the net, it was so satisfying. They just bulged out.
Yeah, that was quite cool. And yeah, overall, it's a really nice result. I think it's similar. I think Hellas kind of maybe see themselves in that group with, the likes of Sassuolo and Udinese, that sort of best of the rest. If you compare it to England, the likes of Villa and West Ham and Everton, those sort of teams that aren't quite like your Man City's or Man United's, but they're when you play them away, they're a tough game. So I think to get the win, I think it's quite good. I'm just looking at the table here at the moment. This is prior to the Napoli game later and against Bologna and Inter versus Atalanta. We're now 3 points behind Inter, who obviously have that game in hand against Atalanta, and 7 points clear of Atalanta, who are in fifth, who obviously have the game in hand against Inter. So, yeah, it just shows, because last week we were talking, and probably rightfully so, 6 points, that's a big gap. That's with head-to-head record. That's a three, it's going to be a three-game swing that's going to change putters top. But now, all of a sudden, if Atalanta manage to get a result against Inter, maybe a win, then it changes the picture. It changes the scenario completely. If we, instead of being 6 points behind, we're three. So, Max, we've kind of asked this to all our guests. Do you see us in a top four race where we should be looking behind? Is it the likes of Atalanta, Roma, Napoli, Lazio? Or should we every weekend be checking the Juve and Inter scores? Do you see us in the title race?
I think you have to kind of keep an eye on both. I think given before the season, I was really hopeful of top four football. And, given our form in 2020 after the lockdown, that was extremely, valid, that opinion that we could make it. So although we've been in first for quite a lot of this season, I've sort of, tempered my expectations. And I think if we finish in second or third, it'd still be a really, really good season, a huge step forward to us. And, having a lot a lot of our problems have been to do with money and attracting players from not being in the Champions League. And I think one of the main things that we need to just make sure of is just qualifying for the Champions League. You know, it won't really, you know, look that good in our games there, because I think we will be outplayed a little bit against some of the stronger opposition. Just depends on the draw we get in our group. But yeah, I think we should try and keep an eye on, you know, sort of that top seven, just to make sure we don't slip out top four.
Yeah, I think Juve are catching up. They had a big result against Lazio yesterday. I thought Simone Inzaghi, for some reason, I thought we're going to win, but, you know, Lazio, they choked that lead they had and then ended up getting, you know, slapped by Juventus. So Juve are sniffing our tails right now. And, you know, Pirlo's saying, oh, we're title contenders and whatnot. So, I mean, I don't think they're title contenders personally, but I think if we, you know, don't keep getting results, Juventus might overtake us. They're on really, really good form recently.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of, with Juve, I look at them and I think as long as they've got Ronaldo, they've got every chance, because, and we spoke about it before, there's how many games? Inter have got 13 games left. Inter aren't going to get 39 points out of that. They will drop points. So I think for us, and Samir, I don't know if you want to expand on this, because this has kind of been your catchphrase but throughout the podcast, but yeah, if we just do our bit, then we've got every chance, because I think Inter will, over the course of the season, drop 6 points. But it's just a case of whether we can capitalise. So, Samir, yeah, how do you feel about, is this result against Verona and the potential Inter versus Atalanta drop points? Does that change your perspective on where we should be aspiring to finish?
Like I said, I've been saying this since episode one. We just got to beat the smaller teams. And against big team, you know, they will drop points here and there. For us, if we want to win the Scudetto, we have to, like, win must against a smaller team. I think for us, a draw against the Udinese was, like, a very, like, very bad thing for us. You know, if you won that game, would have been, like, 2 points below Inter. Right now, we're, like, 3 points. So, like I said, all you have to do is just, you know, win against a smaller team and just, even if you draw against the, you know, the top three or top four, we can finish comfortably second. And as for Inter, I have a feeling they're going to lose their match against Atalanta. If they lose, I think they're going to hit, you know, like, the confidence boost is going to get, like, get low. And maybe we might capitalize it on it. So, yeah, I think the upcoming Napoli game is going to be a big game for us. If we can win it somehow, I think that we can still maybe win the title. Maybe, yeah. I think that game is going to be very big for us, the Napoli one. Let's say we win the Napoli and Inter loses against Atalanta. That's going to be the turning point, I feel. So, yeah.
The Hellas are a good side, too. I believe we dropped points against them the last time, right?
Yeah.
It was 2-0.
Yeah, it was a draw, right? So, you know, this was a big result. We got 3 points this time on this fixture. So, you know, it's like Samir said, we just have to keep doing what we're doing, beating the Hellases, the Fiorentinas, the Spezias, so, and Genoas too. So we have to just focus on picking points off the smaller teams, right? That's all it is.
Yeah, I'm looking at our fixtures here, and we've got the Napoli game, but then other than that, it's Lazio, Juve and Atalanta, but then we've got easy games. We've got, well, say easy, no game's easy, the old saying, but we've got Fiorentina, Sampdoria, Parma, Genoa, Benevento, Torino, Cagliari. So we've got these games where, as Samir said, like, if we win all those, that's 21 points, and that puts us, like, right in with a chance. So if we, like, a draw against Lazio away or a draw against Napoli, like, we can afford those drop 2 points, but only if we beat the likes of Parma and Genoa and Torino. And that, like, that's always been Milan's problem throughout the banter era, throughout ever since I started supporting in 2016. It's always been, I remember famously when in 2016 we beat Juve 1-0, and it was the Locatelli goal and the Donnarumma save on Kadira right at the end, and then the next week we lost 3-0 to Genoa. And it's like, that perfectly encapsulates Milan. So that was challenging for 6th, 7th facing Milan. And if we want to change back to the old Milan where every game's a must win, yeah, we need to sort of eradicate those little silly results like the Udinese one.
And I think today's performance is really indicative of what we should be trying to do, you know, close out teams. You know, Hellas, as I mentioned, didn't even get a shot on target. So just to sort of be able to cushion their attack and also attack ourselves, but not too exhaustively, and sort of play those fringe players in our squad, you know, the Krunic, Castillejo, those kind of players. I think Hauge should have gone in way earlier, especially since he's out of the Europa League squad. You could have rested some other players for Man United in 4 days. But I think, yeah, definitely, I'm hoping that this will give us a confidence boost against the sort of lower teams, as you're saying, so that a Spezia doesn't happen again.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, despite the sort of pre-concerns over the Napoli and Man U matches and still sort of stinging from the Spezia and Udinese results, it's overall quite a positive episode. In terms of our little prediction table that we've got going, so now the table stands at Samir with 4, Rid with 4, Joe with 2, me with 1, and Naeem still on 0. Because Naeem predicted a draw for today, which was, and as did Max actually, and I understand that because, like I said, Hellas away, especially when we drew at home with them, it was never going to be an easy game. But yeah, Samir and Rid and I all said 2-1. Naeem and Max said 1-1, and Joe went very, very outlandish with a 4-3 to Milan prediction. But that was always going to be quite unlikely, but yeah, he gets the 1 point, as do I. So as do I, Samir and Rid. But yeah, Naeem, you're still bottom on 0. Any thoughts on that?
That's unfortunate. As long as I keep proven wrong by the team, but we keep getting results, hey, I'm happy. You know, it's a win-win situation there. But it doesn't matter if I'm in relegation. If Milan are going top, so be it. I'll take these hits.
Yeah. So that's that predictions table sort of segment sorted. So kind of reviewed the game now. So we're going to go on to some wider discussion points regarding places in squads, new contracts, and even new manager. I think we should start with that. Real Dada on Twitter wasn't very confident about the result today. He wasn't confident that we'd pick the win up against Hellas Verona. And he asked you, Max, does Bonera deserve a chance as manager? Does Daniele Bonera deserve a chance as manager if Milan keep losing games?
So obviously, I'm guessing that this is stemming from that one game we had sort of around late November, early December, when Morelli and Pioli both had COVID and Bonera just outclassed every manager that's ever played their trade in Serie A by leading us to a masterclass. I can't remember quite who it was against.
Napoli, no, that was 2-1.
Yeah, it was
Napoli. Yeah. So not even an easy game. It was a tough game against Gattuso, and Bonera just showed his worth, you know. But I think we have to sort of be level-headed, and you know, he said if we lost today, should Pioli be replaced and hire Bonera's interim? But obviously, we won today. But even if we had, I don't think I would have taken Bonera as an interim. I think what Pioli has done has been extremely underrated by quite a lot of the Milan base, who have kind of got used to performing so well. You know, it's the grass isn't always greener on the other side. We could bring another manager in and they could, you know, we could end up losing quite a lot more of our games. But, you know, after lockdown and, you know, towards the end of summer, you know, every Milan fan was kind of thinking, you know, what does it feel like to lose? I've completely forgotten. So, but now it's kind of reality's hit us. And, you know, but Pioli shouldn't be sacked for that. I think the morale in the team is still quite good. I think our tactics are still good. And, you know, we've had so many difficulties with injuries this season that you can't really blame Pioli for that.
Max, do you think we should keep Stefano Pioli going forward if we get Champions League football? Or should we get, I know I've heard a lot of people saying Max Allegri or Maurizio Sarri as well. So what do you think about that?
I think the way Pioli has the team playing right now is sort of perfect. it's like a perfect match between the players he has and the system he wants to play, you know, with the fullbacks bombing up and the defensive solidity. You know, I think if we didn't have a goalkeeper like Gijo, we would be in a lot more trouble, because sometimes it does leave us quite exposed at the back. But having also the double pivot when everyone's fit of Kessié and Bennacer is just so vital to us. And then going up and, you know, we can absorb pressure and then counterattack with young, fast players like Salamakers, Leao, not so young, but Rebic, and then have Ibrahimovic to link it all up. You know, that's really vital and it really fits our squad quite well. So I think maybe next season, stick with Pioli and then evaluate how he does, particularly in the Champions League. Because as you said last podcast, he's quite inexperienced in the Champions League. So he needs to kind of like, we need to test him, see how he reacts, see how he performs and move from there.
Yeah, that makes sense, because we're talking about there's got to be a balance of maybe trying to upgrade and capitalise on us being an attractive club in the Champions League, and maybe this is the only time we could ever get Allegri. But at the same time, we don't want to lose everything we built with this team and this morale and this system just for a risk, because it would be a risk. So, yeah, I think you spoke well on that. Kaushnik, I messaged him on WhatsApp. He's a good friend of mine. He asks, where do you see Romagnoli's place in the squad now? Because he played well today. He's got a clean sheet alongside Tomori. So do we see him maybe as someone like Kalulu and Gabbia? Does he come into that sort of... I kind of see our centre-backs as Tomori and Kjær as the top two. I personally see that. And then there's these rotation options, your Gabby is your Kalulu. So where do you think, Max, yeah, where do you think he slots into that? Is he someone who's a starter and should have the likes of Kalulu and Gabby starting alongside him as rotation options? Or is he now a rotation option and Tomori and Kjær are the first choices?
This is a nice problem to have, you know, having, you know, three defenders, maybe four with Kalulu as well, you know, really staking their claim to be starters. I think Romagnoli was good today. He obviously has a lot of work to do. You know, I don't think he should be captain, really. I think the captain should be Donnarumma. And I know I'm sounding like a Donnarumma fanboy, but I love that man so much. And but the fact that he had Tomori playing next to him really helped him. And I think our best centre-back partnership has to include Tomori, because he's such a high IQ defender. He always is in such a good position. And I saw against Hellas, they were kind of trying to stretch out a defence by packing all their players up on the right side of the box while the ball was on the left, waiting for a cross. And Tomori just didn't buy it at all. He was still right next to his defender in the right position. And he did have that sort of odd back pass that almost didn't come off, but he is a really, really solid player. But I think Romagnoli's also benefited from playing on the other side of Dalot as well, because quite often when Teo thinks he's a striker, he leaves Romagnoli very exposed. And I think it was the Udinese game. It was sort of a counter-attack and Teo didn't track back whatsoever. So it left Romagnoli, who isn't the fastest player, to sort of try and keep up with the Udinese attackers. But I think Romagnoli is a very good player. He's still, you know, he's still extremely young. We can't forget that. And he's been with us through such difficult times and he has been absolutely amazing for us. But right now, I think he has a lot of work to do. I think he needs to look at himself and sort of reconsider his game a little bit. But I still think he should sort of be... I think there should be a rotation between Tomori, Kaya, and Romagnoli.
I think on Twitter, two people that raised some good points about the Romagnoli situation was Mark Gilliani and Romy Nesta of Giova. They said that so he's in bad form temporarily, but he's a good player. So there's two completely different things. A good player can be in bad form, is what Giova was saying. And I completely agree with that. Like, Romagnoli is a good player. We've seen him before, you know, early in the earlier season, just in the bad run of form. But I think it's good that, you know, even if he does get subbed off or someone like Kaya, you still have a very good center back that you can just bring on, like Romagnoli. So, you know, he's just in a bad run of form. But there's also that contract situation. So it's a bit complicated. But I think we'd be better off keeping him in the Champions League because, you know, any injuries can happen. Let's say Kaya's old, like Max was saying, and he can get injured. So if Kyrie's injured for like, what, 2-3 months, then we can't just rely on Gabia to be playing in the Champions League against teams like Man City or PSG. Romagnoli, let's face it, he's better than Gabia. That's just the honest truth. And he's just in current spell of bad form. But, you know, I think it'll be better if we keep him going into the Champions League. Just a good rotation option to have. Squad depth so important for next season more than ever now with COVID. And we've seen how many injuries we've had now. So it's better to keep these players going forward.
Yes, Samir, do you want to speak on that? Is today's performance from Romagnoli against Hellas, does that change your mind perhaps on where he's standing within the squad is?
I've been saying it since episode 3, we should keep him, you know. He plays good with, like, you know, the teams to attack, like doesn't play fastball attacking football. He does better with those teams. And he's still only 26, right? He just turned 26 or turned 27. He's very young. I mean, Kahir having his best form of his career at the age of 31, 32. So we should definitely give him time. And he looked very good today with Tomori, you know. They complement each other very well. And we play with Dalot, right? Dalot does not attack as much as Theo. So with Theo, you know, Theo leaves him behind a lot. So he has to cover when Theo goes front with Dalot. He looked much better because Dalot was, you know, not attacking as much as Theo does. But I think still he's way too young to say anything. He can still improve a lot. He's just 26, 27. And I think he's going to get out of the battle. His form was bad. Like, he's been improving slowly, slowly. I think he's going to be better slowly, slowly. We should give him time. He's going to be back to his, you know, he's very old. Like, 2018 season, he was, like, really good. I think we just need to give him time. With Tomori, he's going to do very good because Tomori is fast, you know. They complement each other very well. Like, when he plays Kahir, both of them are kind of slow. So, you know, it's much, much easier. He can play much easily with Tomori. So, yeah. I think we should give him time, which definitely. But not as a captain. Like Max said, you know. Captain should be either Donnarumma or Kessié. Even Kessié, he was shouting the whole match. You could see him, you know, like, talking to the players, shouting and everything. Same with Donnarumma. It either should be Donnarumma or Kessié. But yeah, you should say. I don't know. It's way too soon to say anything, honestly.
With the Gigio contract situation, maybe like some of you were saying, the armband made enforce him to actually stay and, you know, tell Raya, like, hey, they're giving me the armband. I'm the captain now. I'm staying here for the long-term future and get this thing done quickly. So maybe, Gigio is the way to go for the captain. I think he's already a Milan legend in my eyes. In my eyes, he's the best goalkeeper in Milan history. That's what I think. I mean, hey, you got your Ditas. You can argue with me all you like, but in my opinion, he's a generational talent and he's the best goalkeeper that we have right now. He will be the best keeper we will ever have. So naturally, the captain's armband should go to him and just resolve the whole contract dispute with Raiola. So he should sign the thing.
Yeah, I think with Donnarumma, people will be like, oh, he's only 22, just turned 22. How can he be Milan's best goalkeeper? And I think people forget that Dida and Sebastiano Rossi there and Abbiati, their contributions to Milan were great and they were the ones to pick up the trophies that hopefully Donnarumma will in the future. But in terms of actual ability, I'd say that I'd personally say that, yeah, Donnarumma is the best goalkeeper Milan had. Just to bring it back to the centre-backs, I think it's true, like what Max said about it being a nice problem. I remember, I think it was Semo quite a while ago on Twitter, when there was the whole Kessié, Tonali, Bennacer debate. It's like all these years, Milan are like, oh, we want depth. We need depth. We need to have more than one good player in each position. And now we've got it. It's like, oh, God, he needs to go. Romagnoli needs to go. We've got two good centre-backs. And it's like, and it's same at Leicester as well. Like Leicester, they've got Soyuncu and Evans and Fofana. And just because like you've got three good centre-backs doesn't mean one has to go. You keep all three. And that's where good sides are built. Like Man City are playing today at Man U. And they've got like Laporte on the bench, and that's what Milan need to be striving to. And it doesn't have to be a case of, oh, we're only allowed two good players per position. We can't have Calabria and Dallo. We can't have Ibra and Liao. It has to be Milan are sort of limiting themselves. Milan fans sort of limiting themselves to, yeah, we can't have this great deal of depth. And yeah, I think like Max said, it's a very nice problem to have. Just some more questions from Rotti.
Well, actually, Max, I want to add on that. Like back when Milan in 2007, we had Crespo, Inzaghi, and Shevchenko all fighting for that spot. And mind you, Shevchenko had a Ballon d'Or. And, you know, Milan Twitter would be complaining about why we have Shevchenko and Inzaghi fighting for that spot. Why? And then we had better midfielders on the bench too. I think it was Ambrosini and a bunch of others who were really, really good players on the bench of that side. You know, guys like Jankulovski. So we had good benches before. I don't know why they're suddenly complaining and calling for heads to be sold. We need to have good players across every position.
Yeah, that's exactly spot on. I think, yeah, Milan fans, it's just really funny. I look back at the days when just like calling out for a good backup to someone like Romagnoli, and then now we've got it, and it's like, oh God, it's hell on earth. And yeah, it's just funny how people do stuff like that. And yeah, just Rotti return on Twitter. It's a bit of an Ibra talk now. So actually, we'll come to Rotti's question later. The first thing Rid mentioned in the group chat, although not here, is there's been some murmurs about Ibra's return to the Swedish national team for the Euros after he's kind of been out of the squad for, I think it's about last 3 or 4 years now. So how, Max, how would you feel about that as a sort of just general football fan to see him at the Euros? And also as a Milan fan, are you worried about him maybe getting injured if we were to renew his contract? And yeah, how do you just feel about the whole situation overall?
Well, I think first and foremost, as an England fan, I hope he doesn't score another 38-meter bicycle kick against us, knock us out. But no, obviously, as a football purist, completely, as a neutral fan, you'd love to see Ibra, you know, having his last hurrah with Sweden. Although this is quite a weak Swedish team, who already have a couple of strikers. They have Robin Kaizon, who's really doing, or was doing quite well last time I checked for Mainz. But apart from that, you know, Sweden aren't really in their best shape right now. So I think it might be a bit underwhelming for him, might be a bit of an anticlimax. But obviously, if you're a neutral fan, you want to see Ibrahimovic at the Euros. You know, he's such a massive character and he's such a leader, and he, you know, sort of, he's the face of Sweden, especially Swedish football. But as a Milan fan, I really hope he doesn't go. Or at least if he does go, he gets limited minutes and Sweden get knocked out. Because the last thing we need is another, you know, 2 or 3 months after we've been relying on Zlatan, and then he gets injured. And then what do? We play Rebic and Leao up front, rotate them, even though neither of them are, you know, proper like out and out forwards. And that leads us to sign an absolute pointless player in Mario Mandzukic, you know? I think if we are going to hold on to Zlatan one more year, we need to really sort of solidify a backup plan for, you know, he will be going into the season next year at 40. He'll already be 40 years old. You know, that's older than some of the bloody half of the coaches in the league. So we really need a fallback plan if that was to happen.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the group that he would be in, and there'd be some good battles. They've got Spain in that group, so it could be Ibra versus Diego Costa. There's Poland, so it could be, there's a lot of debate about, other than Messi and Ronaldo, who's been the best player in this era, so that could settle it. Sweden versus Poland, Ibra versus Lewandowski. But yeah, I think I keep bringing up Leicester, but I think Leicester and Milan are quite comparable in a lot of ways. Like with Vardy, there's this whole talk about Vardy coming back for the Euros, just like one last hurrah, as you say. But as a Leicester fan, me and my brother and my mum and dad are always like, no, we'll keep him. We'll keep him fit. We don't want him playing any more extra games he needs to. So yeah, is it worth seeing him score a goal at the Euros against Slovakia? Just like, are we prepared to have that over his full fitness for the upcoming season, sort of thing? So yeah, Naeem and Samir, do either of you have any sort of thoughts on that?
I think it's an interesting case because as well as he's as a last dance, really, it's his last major international tournament for his country. He's the greatest forward, greatest athlete in Swedish history. And I think, like Max was saying, I don't think he'll start every game because he's fighting with Alexander Isak and Robin Klaassen, like you said. He also has Kulusevski. So it's an interesting team, but I think the coach is smart. They'll rotate Isak and Zlatan in and out. But I think as a football purist, the whole world wants to see Zlatan's last match. They want to see Zlatan on that stage. They want to see him score. He's one of the greatest figures in our life for football. And he's a big figure to have in that dressing room to see if the team's slacking at halftime. You know, just gives them a slap on the back of the neck to say, hey, we got to wake up. And he's just a very big figure to have for that team. But as a Milan fan, obviously, I don't want him to get injured playing that. But as a football fan, absolutely, that'd be fantastic to watch. I'd be cheering for him if he scores. And Samir, on to you.
I got four words. Good for him, bad for us, honestly. Like you said, you know, it's his last chance, you know, in the Euros. I'm pretty sure he's going to retire after the Euros, you know, from Sweden. I wouldn't mind if he was like 35, but he's like 40, you know, like, and he's been getting injured, you know, like a lot this season. So, like you said, if he plays, you know, like last 20 minutes, like half a game for Sweden, then it's okay. But still, it's bad for us because if Ivra is injured, we have no one. Leao is not working, you know, as an striker. And Mandzukic, does he play for us? Like, he had one game and he vanished. So, you know, I don't know what's happening. And Colombo is in CS, C or D. So we have literally no one to play. But I get it, you know, like he's having a good season. Zlatan wants to, you know, like go out in a big way, you know, Zlatan way. But then it's actually really bad for us. And if he stays for next season, we have to get a proper striker. You know, not like a 40-year-old guy or 35-year-old guy, a proper striker, you know. But yeah,
Sorry, I was just going to say, do you reckon we could send Emil Roback in a Zlatan disguise so that he could play instead?
Yeah, we're good. But I really hope we sign like someone like, you know, experienced, you know, good striker who scored like 10, 15 goals a season. Yeah, it's not looking good right now. As of right now, you know.
Yeah, so that kind of links into Rotti Vassan's question that we've now gone to. And Max, before the podcast started, you were talking about potential replacements. And last week we had the likes of Belotti mentioned Haaland as like a dream shout. I mentioned Alexander Isak. So Roy Returns asks if at the end of the season, do we give Zlatan a new contract or do we let him go? And if we do let him go, even if we don't let him go, what sort of striker should we be signing? Because you said that you might have some suggestions and who you think might be decent.
I mean, in an ideal world, I'd sign him on a 6-month deal. 6-month contract with an option for another 6 months, just so that we have the option of a year, but then we're not fully committed to his, because he has quite a large pay packet, doesn't he? So, you know, in case he gets a season ending injury and then a career ending injury, that would be, we're not still paying him on the physio table. But yeah, I think, as Samir was saying, we definitely need another striker to come in when Zlatan isn't fit or if he were to leave. So I think an opportunity that we missed out on, and this is going to be an unpopular opinion, is we should have signed Sebastian Haller from West Ham. He's worked with Ante Rebic before in that famous Frankfurt, you know, front three that won the Pokal. You know, he's a tall physical player. So having that long ball game from our defence and from our goalkeeper to sort of knock it down, control it. His hold-up play is outstanding, Sebastian Haller. And I think he got a lot of unfair criticism in England based on his performances because he wasn't, you know, a sort of lights-out superstar striker. He's much more of a creative striker, which I think is what we need because we have all these attacking talents, you know, on the wing. We have the likes of, you know, Rebic, Schalke, Leao, Salamakers who all want to get involved. And even, you know, people like Teo and Calabria who pop up on the edge of the box. We need a striker who not only can score, but can create as well. And that's why I also think Alisson Plea from Mönchengladbach would be really good as a signing as well, especially since Marco Rosa's leaving. That could be an incentive for him to leave as well, because, you know, with all due respect to Mönchengladbach, they're a great club with great history, but, you know, it's going to be really difficult to try and replace Rosa. And having the opportunity to join Milan in the Champions League and be, you know, sort of the main striker is sort of once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I think that's true, because we're talking about it. Go and check out the podcast that came out as we're recording today with Luca Gasparotto, former Rangers player. He was talking about the difficulties as a foreign player breaking into a side. And we were talking about people like Islam Slimani at Leicester, who these foreign players get half the time an English player would in the starting 11. I think that's the case with Sebastian Haller, because I remember he scored a goal against Sheffield United that was really good, and he was just starting to, in that West Ham side, he was starting to pick up, because he did have a disappointing first few months, but he was starting to pick up, and then he went to Ajax. So yeah, I think the way that the English media portrays him and West Ham fans see him, I think it's completely different to what the play sort of is that we saw it in Germany. And as you say as well, someone like player, a big physical, tall presence up front, that would be good as well. You mentioned the six month contract with Ibra. I think that is ideal, because you don't want to commit to a whole year on his wages that are like biggest at the club, and then it comes to November and he does his ACL and that's it. He's out for the rest of the season, and we're paying like high level wages to someone who's not playing. So I'd agree with that. I think almost you just keep him around. If you do, say we do sign someone like player, or Turam or Isak as like his replacement, I don't think they can't play, be together sort of thing. I don't think it means if you sign one of them, Ibra has to go. I think you could even just have him around as like a leadership sort of ambassador sort of thing, just so you can have him around and be sort of a mentor. And that six month sort of contracts idea is quite good. Naeem, do you have any thoughts on get rid of Ibra, let his contract go out another year, 6 months, and then 6 months again? Or yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Ibra does have a significant pay cut, but you know, I just think he deserves every single penny, because he's given us Milan fans hope. He's given us, you know, a vision. He's given us a bit of Champions League taste, because we seriously think, hey, we can even fight for Scudetto. So I think you know, pay him whatever he wants, maybe I think for a year. But I want to touch on the Haller situation with Jens Peter Hauge. So Hauge, he wasn't even started. He didn't start today. And like Luca did say last episode, the favorites do get in ahead. So, you know, he's a young kid from Norway, from Bodø/Glimt, a new language, new culture, and he's not starting. And I wonder what's going on behind the scenes, because Pioli does have his favorites. You know, you hear him saying, dai Samu, every 5 minutes. So we obviously know he tends to like Samu a lot. So I think that Hauge situation is a bit weird. But on that Zlatan thing, I think, I think a one-year contract will be beneficial. Let's see how the summer goes and the Euros goes, because we'll see. I think we'll have him. Has he signed yet or no? Does his contract expire this summer?
Yeah, Ibra's expires this summer, yeah, alongside Hakan and Don.
Yeah. So I think we'll have to sort something out quick, but the problem here is Euros are coming after his contract expires. So obviously it would have been better if the Euros came and see how his fitness is while his contract was still with Milan, but that's not the case. We have to decide something right now. So let's just say we do sign that 6 month contract like Max said, and then he gets injured in Euros for, I don't know, for 3 months, he's out. That's, he's still getting what he wants, his pay. But then at the same time, you know, we're not getting the most out of him. So it is a complicated situation. So I think, I don't think he should go to Euros as a Milan fan, really.
Samir, do you have anything to add to that? What do you think should happen with Zlatan?
I think, yeah, we should give him another contract, because right now, I don't know who can replace, you know, him, the way he plays, his mentality. No one is there, you know, even for like 40 million, you know, who's going to come in, you know, and fix us like he did. So maybe have him for a year while he's here, get someone else as well, you know, so they can learn from him. That would be the best way to go. And like Naeem said, the Euro thing, it's like a pain in the ass, honestly, you know. It came out of nowhere. I thought, you know, he retired. But then, hopefully, I hope, even if he plays for Euros, hope, you know, like he plays very little games or he doesn't get injured, you know. But right now, I think we should sign him, you know, like for 6 months, like Max said, you know, let's see what happens till next year's January. If he performs, if he's healthy, you know, then GG. If not, well, we should look somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's about right, to be honest. It's got to be, you don't want to fully commit to, like, I think we need to sign a striker regardless. I don't think we can, like, just renew Zlatan and then have, you know, Roback, Colombo, Rebic and Liao, who I see Rebic and Liao as more left forwards, wingers, more than, like, number nine strikers that are dependable and going to get you, like, the goals that Zlatan gets you. So I think we do need to sign a striker, and I don't think we can... Yeah, I think it's a balance. I don't think we can commit one way and just not renew him. But then at the same time, we don't want to maybe just kick him out after all the work he's done and lose that presence in the dressing room. So, yeah, it's a difficult decision, but that's what Maldini and Massara and Gazidis are all paid to do. And Pioli's there to judge. And Ibra knows, Ibra said that if his body doesn't feel up to it, and he knows he's not going to have a sort of fading out period where he's going to, like, just play for the sake of it. He said he's only going to play when he knows that he's the best player in the Milan team. He's only going to play when he knows he can contribute. And I think that's quite encouraging, because you've seen some players before who are like, you're finished, you were great, and now you're just dragging it out a bit. But yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen with Ibra.
I think that today all of us saw that Liao isn't meant to be a striker. He's more of a winger, because early on Calabria had that really, really good cross. I thought it was a phenomenal cross right to his head. And he should have finished that. And he knows he should have finished that. We saw him, you know, just praying with his hands closed, like, hey, I should have put that in the back of the net. So he's more of a winger than as a classic, you know, up top forward like Zlatan is. Because you Calabria sends that delivery right to Zlatan's head, you know. He's hitting the back of the net. It's a very satisfying mesh sound. So, you know, he got that header against Napoli, too. I think it was a Theo cross. It was so far out. It was a header. I think he beat Koulibaly or one of their center backs, and I was really surprised. So Zlatan's good at heading, but Liao, he's quick. He's more of a winger. That's how I see it. So I think, Matt, you're right on that. And if we did get a backup striker, I think it would be Belotti. Would be nice if he could learn from Zlatan and whatnot. Nice to rotate between those two.
I don't think Zlatan's even needed by Sweden at the Euros. I mean, I'm going through their page on Transfermarkt. As we said, they have Kulusevski, they have Kaizon, they have Alexander Isak. They also have Jordan Larsson, Sebastian Larsson's son, who's playing for Spartak Moscow and is 21 years old, 23 years old. So that would really give him a chance to break out. They also have a guy called Sebastian Andersson, who had 15 goal involvements for Union Berlin last season in the Bundesliga. And he's sort of a tall striker in the same mold as Zlatan. And they, you know, they still have Marcus Berg as their captain. Big old Marcus Berg at 34, you know. So I don't think Zlatan should even go to the Euros if I was Sweden's coach. You know, he's not been in the setup for ages. He'd be taking opportunities from, you know, potentially younger, you know, future stars of the Swedish game.
Yeah, hopefully the Sweden manager shares your opinion, Max, because that means we'll have a lot fitter Zlatan coming up. Naeem, do we have any more things we need to discuss? We've gone through all the questions, so I'm not sure.
We can give the viewers, let them know that we're doing a Man United preview later this week, and you guys should be really looking forward to that, because we're going to be discussing some fantastic points, you know, a little 11v11 their comparison there. But I was going to add, Dalot's maybe thinking of Telles and Luke Shaw in that Man United team. And he thinks, hey, next season I'm going to be third choice left back, or I can't get ahead of Wan-Bissaka. So he's looking at his options and, you know, trying to play well. That's pretty good. But other than that, no.
Yeah, so I think we're going to wrap it up there. Like Naeem said, there will be a Milan versus Man United preview. And then that will be recording that Tuesday, Wednesday. So it'll be out before the game, of course. And then next weekend, we'll be doing a Napoli review. We'll be recording after the Napoli game. Hope you enjoyed this one. Max, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you, Max. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming on, Matt. So I'm very impressed by your football knowledge, the stuff with Sweden. I didn't even know who half of those players were. And the Hannah was something I completely forgot about. That idea was really unique and, quite good. So, thanks for coming on. I'm sure you'll be back in the future to hopefully discuss the Milan win.
Cheers. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on. Really great episode. So, thanks for watching, everyone. This has been episode 6 of the Short Corner Podcast. We've been joined by Max Vigor, Naeem Fayaz and Samir Mohammed. I've been Matt Robson and Forza Milan, good win against Hellas Verona. See you next time.
See you guys.